So getting started is upload something with the least resistance possible. So my first ever podcast was an audio only podcast with a doctor who I'd had multiple different chats before. So we were friendly anyway. Mm-hmm. And we'd always had conversations on Zoom around AI and healthcare anyway. So it made sense. Why don't we just record one of our normal conversations that we would have anyway, and then just upload that? So that was my first ever podcast. And the reason that's a good thing is just because it completely took away all of that other rubbish with editing and getting over any type of barriers. And then once then I can slowly start building the momentum, and slowly once now I've gotten started, I can start getting better to the point where I'm getting good. And I can then start focusing on my intros and making them engaging and focusing on everything else.
Podcasting still remains to be one of the most undersaturated, underutilized platforms, which has the greatest potential if you're looking to amplify your voice, your authority, your credibility, and your business, if that is the way that you are inclined right now. So if you're a doctor, medical student, anybody, listen to this podcast episode where I interview Esh Tatler, who is a medical student and the founder and director of the prolific health tech podcast Beyond Tomorrow. And we talk about a whole range of things, focusing on getting started, the platform, and some of the huge, huge benefits from being a podcaster and reaching out to some top names from companies like YouTube Health, Uber, and more. He's done all of that as a medical student. So check this out. And obviously, don't forget to subscribe to our mailing list and our community. And also, leave a review. If you listen to this podcast a number of times, you clearly must enjoy it. Leave a review and help us to spread the word as widely as possible. Anyway, on to the episode. So let's get real. Our value as doctors has significantly diminished over the last decade. So how can we turn that around by upskilling and creating rewarding and impactful careers on our own terms? Welcome to Disrupting Doctors' Careers. I'm your host, Dr. Abena Bubbers-Jones, and I'm on a mission to connect 1 million talented doctors with the best in diverse career opportunities. Welcome back to Disrupting Doctors' Careers. As you know, I am your host, Dr. Abena Bubbers-Jones, and today we are going back into the world of podcasting and marrying it with healthcare innovation. Podcasting and healthcare innovation. Why? Because podcasting is such a great, great medium to reach thousands, if not millions, of people that you've never met, to really amplify your voice and really build your personal brand on authority, and also interview some really cool people and network. And that's what I've used it for. And so has Esh. So I thought Esh to discuss this topic, because I really believe that medical students, doctors, clinicians, anyone should be using podcasting to really share their authority, not only in medicine, but in any topic they choose. It is still an undersaturated platform, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So just to start by introducing Esh Tatler, he is a medical student at my own medical school, Nottingham University in the Midlands. And he is the director and podcast host of Health Beyond Tomorrow. It is a fantastic podcast. He's got some really, really cool guests on there. One of the most memorable ones was the CMO of Uber. And he's got a whole range of other ones. He'll tell us a little bit more about that. But he started this as a mission. He's on a mission to inspire the next generation of clinicians to think beyond boundaries. And that absolutely aligns with our values and our brand. So we're going to hear a little bit more about him and how he actually got started and what has come out of that. And I'm sure we'll talk about some other stuff in between. But welcome.
Abena, thank you for the invite. Nice to see you.
Really lovely to see you. And yeah, I want to also just share I think we first formally met
Is it YouTube Health?
at the YouTube Health event,
Yeah.
which was it September
It was a
last
couple months back.
year?
It was a
It was
couple
a
months back,
few
yeah.
months ago. Anyway, one of the things that really drew me to you and vice well, well, yeah, really stood out for me about you is that you, there are very few people that I meet that just seem to be really open. They just seem to be this open book of, I don't like to use the word, but kind of purity in some ways. That's the word that's coming to mind of how passionate you are, or you were at the time, about what you're doing, about podcasting, about sharing people's experience, about the vision of really inspiring the next generation of clinicians. And that's what really brought me into you, like instantly. And I want to say, actually, you know, these in-person events, this is why it counts, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to hear back from you. Like, why did you start Health Beyond Tomorrow? Why was it important to you at the time?
No, that really means a lot. And it's a word that I haven't actually, isn't pure isn't something so anyone's described me as before, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, I don't know. It just sprung to mind, and that I
No,
use
thank you.
it.
Why I started Health Beyond Tomorrow, I can give you two reasons. One is kind of that reason, like let's say you're applying to medical school, you give that kind of that medical school interview kind of reason. Oh, you're going to medical school to kind of get in because you want to help patients. But then there's an actual deeper intrinsic reason. So I'll give you the two reasons. So I guess the first reason, as a med student, there isn't much exposure to health technology innovation in the curriculum, and it is or from the medical school, the fact that we are the world is becoming digital and digital transformation is happening around us. And especially in healthcare at the moment, we're seeing that with the rise of large language models, ChatGPT, and the applications of these language models in healthcare. And I was frustrated with the fact there wasn't any kind of anything in the curriculum covering this. And so I set up a society, the MedTech Society in Nottingham, and I hosted some local workshops, some local events. We brought in some guest speakers just to talk about MedTech, health tech innovation. And I soon realized that my reach was localized to just Nottingham. We were hosting events for the University of Nottingham medical students, and that's fine, that's great. But I wanted to have an impact at scale and to almost disseminate information around a gap in the medical school curriculum to as many medical students as possible. So then that led me to then want to set up a podcast. So that kind of like my mission isn't to inspire. That kind of that reason is there. And then there's some selfish reasons as well. So firstly, podcasting is an amazing way to meet people. I mean, I have no right, right? I have no right sitting down with Uber's chief medical officer and sitting for an hour having a conversation with him and him giving me mentorship guidance so early on in my
I
career.
have to interrupt you there. Sorry, we were talking earlier about like how we both were really guilty when we interject our interviewees. But I have to interject you on two counts. One, actually, let's just go back to the most recent one. One, why is it that you don't have any right? I
I'll
want. I
explain
really,
why.
I'm really curious about that.
So
Yeah.
when I say I don't have any rights, so we of course have always lived in this kind of hierarchical structure. The society has been
Yes,
hierarchical in nature,
hierarchical. Yeah.
and so me, firstly being of Asian origin, ethnic minority, I'm already at a disadvantage in life because of the color of my skin. And then secondly, me being so low down in the hierarchical pyramid of medicine, I'm only just a medical student at the moment. And I say that just a medical student in quotation marks for those of you listening, but that's the truth. And so I am in this hierarchical structure at the way historically it's always been at the bottom of this pyramid. Whereas you have someone so high up at Uber or YouTube or Google, they're at this like top of this pyramid, and they've gone through a career, their career with having loads of experience and gotten to this top. So when I say I have no right, I'm just saying that, yeah, traditionally speaking, I don't have a right to be talking to them as a final year medical student, if that makes
But
sense.
they're different pyramids, Ash. A different pyramid. So does it really matter? You're
No,
jumping
no, no, no.
pyramids. That's all you're doing.
No, no. I agree with that. I guess I said when I said I have no right, it was more of like that I guess the dramatic effect of the story I was trying to tell. So yeah, you caught me out on that there.
If anyone's ever seen Esh's podcast videos, you can see how dramatic they are. I'm talking EastEnders, you know, blockbuster level dramatic. It is hilarious. So I can totally understand.
When you're trying to tell a story, you have to tell it, Albina. Otherwise, people are going to switch off, right? People are going to switch off. So you have to tell the story. So I have no right talking to the Uber's chief medical officer.
That will be the caption we'll be putting on this. And then you're like dropping in these quotes. I love it. But yeah, going even further back to the why. So you set up the MedTech Society at Nottingham University. You realised it was a local outfit, which isn't a bad thing at all. You know, I mean, I'm sure that it was hugely valuable to the university and the locale. But why was it important, whether it's a personal or a wider mission, why was it important to create an impact beyond that? What were you hoping to see in that achievement? What does that look like? Yeah,
I guess it's twofold. So I've always wanted, I guess it wasn't necessarily immediately that I wanted to create an impact. I think through creating content online, through podcasting, when you have people tuning in every week, you start realizing that this is beneficial to people, and you start realizing that you're then having an impact. But the bit before that was honestly that I wanted to try something new. I've always been a creative person. I've always wanted to do a podcast. I've always wanted to set up a YouTube channel. I just haven't, because it's uncommon for a medic to do those things. And so it kind of went hand in hand that I wanted to share content around medtech, health tech. What better way to do that than through the medium of creating YouTube and creating videos on YouTube and creating a podcast? So that's one aspect. And then I guess that second aspect is then that impact then came, and it's kind of, I got addicted to it, with people reaching out to me and saying, oh, I really loved that episode. From that episode, it made me want to then do this. Or I listened to what you spoke with let's say Uber, not Ubers, with Vishal. I listened to your conversation with Vishal, and he's the YouTube head of health, and that's maybe now I want to start creating health information online as a medic. That's the kind of impact that I love. And so that came as a byproduct of me honestly just putting myself out there to begin with. I don't want to take credit and say, oh no, this was always the ulterior mission to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, like, as we know, a lot of these things come out of a journey. Like, no one says, oh, I want to start a podcast. Like, people usually start something as a result of a wider vision, a wider goal. You know, why did we start disrupting doctors' careers? I mean, Medic Footprints has been around for a number of years. We've had webinars, et cetera, et cetera. And a number of people had recommended podcasting, which is something we hadn't done yet, as a way to, again, get our voice out there, get those stories. And it has been hugely popular and successful, in the sense that there is no time commitment to it, in the sense you have to show up for a webinar. It's I think we've reached a lot more people as a result of that, and the brand authority too has really gone up, I would say, particularly obviously because we're now on the platforms. And so we're talking about SEO, search engine optimization. If you're someone that has a website and you're looking at being found, Google will rank you higher if you're linked to a podcast, simply spoken. I really appreciate that journey and that story. And then there is the getting started, right? Yeah. So considering you're busy, in inverted commas, for those of you not listening, a busy medical student. Had you podcasted before? How did you get started? And how did you find the time?
So I had a podcast previously before the podcast I'm doing at the moment. So I interned and created content on behalf of many other companies beforehand. I kind of grew my portfolio around creating content online because I enjoyed it. I am part of the Gen Z, like 2000s group, that grew up on YouTube, grew up on Instagram, grew up on TikTok, and consume that kind of content. And I thought it'd be cool to merge my passion for medicine, I'm doing a medical degree after all, with also this content creation kind of journey. So podcasting specifically, I think it is, there's such little resistance to just pressing record and having a conversation with someone and then uploading it. Stuff like YouTube has quite a high barrier to entry because you're having to record a video, do some editing, create a thumbnail and then upload it and think about all the title. Whereas podcasting was a very easy way to get started. So I guess that's probably the why to podcast. And then beyond that, also I listen to podcasts like Tim Ferriss, Stephen Bartlett, Diary of a CEO. I'm sure a lot of the listeners will listen to that. And I just thought that's cool. Like, they're just sitting down with such cool people. I'd love to do that.
And now you are. No, that's incredible. And so, I mean, let's go into the technicals of it. You talked about pressing play. I mean, what do you use? What platforms do you use? What is your process to actually finding guests, recording them, editing it, publishing it? Let's hear a bit of the high level.
Yeah, high level. So I'd say you first have to decide what is the motivation for doing a podcast. I think there's two aspects to it. So you can have the first aspect, which is, are you just doing it to network? Are you just doing it to meet people? And a good way to do that is just by having a conversation and pressing record. Then there's another aspect to it. Is it that you're doing it as a funnel for your business? So are you creating content in the hope that you get an audience and then you can start pushing a product that you're offering? And then I guess there's a third option, which is, do you love the creative art and there's nothing else that you, there isn't really any other strings attached? And so you first need to decide the reasons for wanting to create a podcast, because then that will then structure your next steps. So getting onto the question around, once you've decided that, so let's say, so my ambitions were to both network and then also I love the creative. So I wanted to get, sorry, also, is this going to be edited out, like some bits?
Sorry. Well, if you keep on talking like that, yes. obviously, don't worry about it. Yeah, it'll be.
I kind of went off track. So let me go. Okay. What was the original question again?
So the question was the high level on the technicalities.
High level. Okay. High level technicality. Okay, fine. Yeah. So my process looks a bit So with me wanting to network and then also me wanting to create like cool episodes with the high post-production creative element, a big thing for me was getting cool guests on. And you can obviously reach out to people on LinkedIn. That's one good way. But I think when you're trying to get in touch with people working at places like Uber, Microsoft, and who are high up on this hierarchical structure, as we talked about, getting through to them in the normal types of mediums, whether it's sending an email or sending a LinkedIn message, isn't the best way to get through to them, just because they have tons of messages in their inbox, right? So something I found useful is going to conferences, meeting people, and I would write handwritten letters as an invite to a guest and say, I'm really intrigued by your story. I'd reference something that they're doing, that they've done, and said, would you like to come on my podcast? And I'd hand that to them at a conference. And then they'd be like, this person's going above and beyond. Of course I'll come on your podcast. They're not going to say no at that point, right? So that would be how
Above and beyond tomorrow.
I like the pun there. So that would be how I get some guests on. You need to think of cool ways, outside the box thinking ways to get guests on the podcast. Like, obviously you can go through the usual channels, but in my experience it's quite difficult to get in touch with people. So that's one aspect, getting in touch with guests. Then the other aspect is just recording. So I use a platform called riverside.fm, which a lot of podcasters would use. The reason that's better to services like Zoom or Teams is because that records locally on your guests and your device. So if I'm recording with Albina and her Wi-Fi isn't really great, then what it will do is it will record her video and audio locally onto her laptop. So when we finish the podcast, despite her Wi-Fi not being great, is bypassed the cloud. And when I get her video footage, it's going to be 4K and it's going to be great. So that's one aspect. And then the second aspect is,
and say we used to use Riverside, and it caused a lot of problems.
Really,
we ended up losing a whole interview.
Oh wow!
Someone from a very big company. And it was just really annoying and just caused lots of technical issues, so much so I came back to Zoom.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So don't let that one negative experience that Albina had put you off.
This was multiple.
Oh, multiple. Okay.
Multiple occasions.
Okay. Multiple. Maybe something wrong with Albina then, because I haven't had any touch wood. I don't want this to start happening, but I haven't had any negative experiences with Riverside. I'd actually recommend it. So obviously do your own research and trial what works for you. Zoom's a great option. I know, Abena, maybe you want to jump in on how you record locally on Zoom, because you use a service called Fathom, right?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So you can record, I mean, Zoom is fairly straightforward. We're actually looking at using Google as well now. Haven't tried it yet, but Zoom is straightforward. You know how it works. You know, at the end of the day, the most important thing for us is the audio. And we get it 100% of the time, and that's all we want. Whereas in Riverside, I was getting it. It was that, you know, there were a lot of technical issues that we really struggled with so many different guests, that it just wasn't actually worth it in the end.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's just from personal experience. And we did use it for at least a year, and that was just from my personal experience. But Zoom is straightforward and it works. And at the end of the day, it's really about the quality and the content, and that's what we get, so I'm pretty happy with it. We use Fathom Note Taker. So one of the things to consider if you are doing a podcast is your show notes, which is essentially a summary of the discussion, which you can absolutely write yourself. But if you're like me and have a really crap memory, you can use a Note Taker, which is an AI recorder of this. And they can do the show notes for you, or you can then put it to ChatGPT and get show notes done. So whatever style you want. So that's why we use Fathom Note Taker now.
So what I do is I record the episode, and then I use a software called Descript. So then I upload my videos to Descript and then edit the podcast on Descript. Descript is an amazing platform. And so it is an AI kind of powered video editor. So what it will do is it will transcribe the words for you. So if I was to say, let's say this podcast episode, it would have a full transcript of, let's say, 10,000 words next to the editor where mine and Albina's face would be. So the words would coincide and be kind of matched to the audio file. So if I was to delete me saying a specific word on the transcript, it would then actually delete that word in the audio also. So it's quite clever. It makes editing a podcast really, really simple. So I'd recommend the script. And I also do a lot of other editing on the script. There's a lot of cool things you can do on the script. A lot of my intros are done on the script. If you go onto my YouTube, you'll see that they're decent quality. Obviously, don't want to toot my own horn, but I love but you'll see the capabilities there are with the script. So that's kind of like the technical side to it all.
And how about the publishing platform?
We use
Omni.
Omni, I've not heard of that. So Anchor.fm was purchased by Spotify.
Yeah.
So I use Anchor/Spotify for podcasters. The reason I do that is because I do video podcasts, and if you upload via Anchor.fm/Spotify for podcasts, you're able to upload video files to Spotify. And that platform does allow you to also distribute to stuff like Apple Podcasts, Audible and Amazon and all the other types as audio files as well. So that's why I picked, Anchor.
It's good to know that Spotify now does video for podcasting. Yeah. How about on YouTube?
So on YouTube, YouTube's kind of separate. So a lot of podcasters don't upload to YouTube. The reason is because it adds that additional burdensome element, that the fact you're having to edit the video file, make it engaging, make it interesting, make a thumbnail, for example, focus a bit more on the title. There's a lot of analytics you have to focus on with YouTube if you want to succeed, like click-through ratio, retention, engagement, stuff like that, which makes it a lot more difficult. So a lot of people just stick to audio podcasting and just upload to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. The reason I upload to YouTube is because YouTube have overtaken Spotify now as the biggest podcasting platform in the world. So beforehand, Spotify was king, then it was Apple Podcasts, then it was YouTube. But YouTube slowly in the background have been working on podcasting's features. And have now overtaken both Spotify and Apple Podcasts to be number one. And so there's such a big untapped potential. If you aren't publishing on YouTube, you're missing out on a huge chunk of audience. That means the fact it's the biggest podcaster and you're not uploading. Additionally, YouTube has something called the algorithm, which is great. So with podcasting, everyone says it's a long game because you're having to consistently produce episodes over a long period of time to slowly build up that loyal audience, which is fine. That's where it's traditionally always been. But now you can somewhat accelerate that growth and accelerate your reach on YouTube because of the algorithm. If you create an engaging video, which ticks all the YouTube boxes in terms of it's got a high click-through ratio, it's got a high engagement rate, retention, whatever, the algorithm will then push it to more people. And then that ultimately means that your podcast will just grow quicker.
That's good to know. That's really good to know, because I know that in the last year or so, YouTube have been pushing the whole podcasting thing. And some, I know a lot of people, podcasters, that have taken it up. But as you said, it's like a whole other skill set you've then got to develop to make sure you do it right. But that's really interesting that it's overtaken Spotify and Apple.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, for people who are just getting started, would you say, like, what advice would you give on the getting started bit? Because you can absolutely lose yourself in all these platforms and technology. So what would you recommend?
Yeah, Ali Abdul says it well. He says that if you're going to produce content, there's three things. You get started first, then get good, then get smart. But a lot of people fail at that getting started bit and they never have time to then get good or get smart. So getting started is upload something with the least resistance possible. So my first ever podcast was an audio only podcast with a doctor who I'd had multiple different chats before. So we were friendly anyway. Mm-hmm. And we'd always had conversations on Zoom around AI and healthcare anyway. So it made sense. Why don't we just record one of our normal conversations that we would have anyway, and then just upload that. So that was my first ever podcast. And the reason that's a good thing is just because it completely took away all of that other rubbish with editing and getting over any type of barriers. And then once then I can slowly start building the momentum, and slowly once now I've gotten started, I can start getting better to the point where I'm getting good. And I can then start focusing on my intros and making them engaging and focusing on everything else. So that's probably the biggest tip I can give you. The second tip would be, this is for anyone creating content. It doesn't have to be specifically for podcasting, but I wrote a blog and I created a YouTube video on this actually. So for anyone who's creating content online, before you create content, I'm a bit of a gaming nerd, by the way. I like Tekken, Mortal Kombat. And so I created this three-part framework on what you should do before starting creating content. And so in these like street fighting games, number one is pick your character. And so you need to decide what kind of content are you going to be producing online and what aspects of your personality are you going to pick and choose for your character when you're producing content. So I'll give you an example. So I am a medical student who's interested in health tech. I've specifically picked those attributes and those aspects in my persona and my podcasting personality. But equally at the same time, I'm interested in boxing and MMA. And if I wanted to do a boxing podcast and just chat with my friends about boxing, I wouldn't be picking those medicine, health tech aspects of my personality. Does that make sense? So that's kind of step number one. You need to hone down on what is your podcast going to be about and what's going to be special about you, what's going to be special about your podcast, what can you bring, what is your unfair advantage? These are all questions that you need to ask yourself.
Yeah, no, I think there's, I really like the whole avatar. What's your avatar?
Yeah.
And what is the personality that you're bringing to it and the topic you're really passionate about? I think those are really good advice. I mean, I think back to when we started this podcast, I already had years of experience doing interviews and creating content. And actually my first podcasts were solo. That was the difficulty for me, doing a solo episode. I think we were talking about that earlier. Doing a solo episode is very different from doing an interview where I, for example, with these interviews, we send out three core questions to our guests that we're going to structure the conversation around. It doesn't always end up being those three questions, but it's a good structure and focus. Whereas with the solo episodes, you've got to have a lot more planning involved. And that's probably one of the reasons why I haven't done a solo episode for a while, because it does take a lot more planning. But I've learned I can talk I can talk on my own for a long time. But I mean, I think that's really, really, really valuable advice. And so just rounding off, so you've achieved a huge influence through your podcasting. So we bring it back to climbing up that pyramid, the hierarchy, you're definitely up there. Maybe not the same pyramid as medicine in a kind of clinical perspective, but I think on a wider scale, which I personally think means more, it gives out a lot more. And you have a much wider reach than you would do had you not done podcasting, which is a great place to be in, especially when you're developing your medical career or your general career, I should say, your personal life career. So I'd love to hear more from you as to what opportunities have come out of taking this journey. Like the personal, the professional, anything else you'd like to share with us and our listeners?
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. So influence is a funny word, right? Because sometimes it can have somewhat of a negative connotation. So I wouldn't necessarily say I have influence. All I am is someone that's followed my curiosity. I've always just found something interesting and decided I want to create a podcast on that, create a YouTube video on that. And as
what
a result—
What does influence mean? Sorry, just to interrupt. What does influence actually mean then? I'd love to talk a little bit about that.
So influence means, when I think of influence, I perceive influence as either being good or bad. And I think, what does influence mean? I don't know. What does influence mean to you, Abina? So I think influence is that you have somewhat authority for people to want to listen to you.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Absolutely. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. So I'd love to hear why you feel it's binary, good or bad.
Binary, good or bad. So it goes back to the fact that there's that hierarchical structure, right? So some people are put at the top of the pyramid without necessarily... some people are put at the top of the pyramid and as a result will have influence. They'll have authority and they'll have power, despite not necessarily wanting the best for the people at the bottom of the pyramid, if that makes sense, without getting too political. So that's why I think influence can also be a bad thing. So there's two types of Helen Bevan. She's one of the strategic advisors for the NHS. She's a great person if you want to get her on the podcast. She's super interesting. She talks a little bit about new power and old power, and how in old power there's that hierarchical structure and pretty much people at the top who are controlling all the moves, and it's kind of working down, whereas new power is all about having influence but from a bottom-up approach and being like a super connector who's on the ground and who's influencing others around them by empowering them. So when I say influence can be either good or bad, I think an influential leader is bad if someone describes them as a powerful leader, whereas an influential leader is good if someone describes them and says that leader empowered me. So that's kind of like the differentiation between what I would say is good or bad influence.
So, I mean, this is another discussion, but it's about leadership, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about, you know, how do you position yourself as a leader and who are you serving? I'm very much into, as a leader, you are serving a specific community of people, and who are you bringing with you in your growth, whether that's personal, professional, whether you've got a journey. It is bringing people with you rather than holding them back or pushing them down for your own benefit.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah, so yeah. Totally get that. And so, tell me a little bit more about the opportunities that have come out of podcasting.
Yeah, okay. So Naval Ravikant says there's four types of luck. I'm not sure if you heard of this, Sabina. So there's blind luck, then there's luck from hustling, then there's luck from being prepared, and then there's luck that's unique to you. So blind luck is just all about... you just go through your day and something happens to you and it's just out of the ordinary, and that's blind luck. So if I so it's basically not in your control not in your control at all. Whereas luck from hustling is all about basically putting yourself out there as much as possible to increase your luck surface area for an interesting opportunity to come your way. So with podcasting and creating content online, what it's allowed me to do is increase my luck surface area across all these different platforms for someone to come up to me and someone to message me on LinkedIn and provide me an opportunity that wouldn't have come my way otherwise. And there's been tons of cases. So I work from, I can give a couple examples. So one aspect is I work, I've worked with Dr. Lewis Porter at Geeky Medics, and they're doing cool stuff around AI, and integrating AI for SBA style questions, single best answer style questions on their platform. That came about from following my curiosity on how ChatGPT can be used in medical education and posting TikToks on that. And those TikToks got around 50K views overnight, which is cool.
Wow.
So that's one aspect. Second aspect is people just come up to you. People, if you're a relatable face that people have seen online, they will come up to you at a conference, for example. And it goes from, hi, my name is Ash, to then all of a sudden people say, oh, Ash, I know you. And it's a warm welcome. It's a warm introduction. And people, despite maybe you not knowing the person, they're treating you like their best friend. That's that parasocial relationship that they've already built just from listening to your podcast. And then that in itself is amazing for meeting new and interesting people, right? So I think those are two of the biggest aspects. What are your thoughts, Sabina? Would you agree with those?
You tell me, yes, Mr. Podcast, this is my podcast here. I get to ask the questions. You missed two others. So I got the, I love,
okay,
I love
do you
this.
Want me, sorry.
There were four types,
four
of,
types
luck.
Of luck. Okay.
Blind
four
luck,
types of luck. Yeah.
Hustling luck.
Hustling luck.
Your
so blind
area.
Luck.
What's three and four?
So three and four, luck from being prepared. So this is a cool type of luck. So let's say there's two types of doctors. So let's say doctor one. So there's two types of doctors and both of them go to a health tech conference. Dr. One, he just goes to the health tech conference just to watch some cool keynotes. Like he's just going for a good time, right? He's interested a little bit in health tech and he wants to just learn a bit more. Then there's Dr. Two, who has researched each one of those keynote talkers, the speakers, and has prepared one or two questions for those speakers. So the reason I'm saying that, I mean, it's not, in reality, maybe no one's going to sit there and like stalking a keynote talker and think, oh, I'm going to ask them this question.
Not
but the
like
reason
you
I'm giving,
did
not like
when
I
you got
did,
your but, well, podcasts.
but podcasts, the reason I give, I guess, the yeah. reason I give those examples of these two doctors. So let's say a chance encounter with doctor number one, who hasn't done any preparation, a chance encounter with a keynote speaker for doctor number one is just going to be a general chit chat. It's just going to be, hi, my name's Dr. I'm Dr. X. I'm a pediatrician X. I'm interested in health tech. Whereas for Dr. Two, if they were to come into contact and encounter a keynote speaker who they've researched, who they know the background of, they are going to have a more interesting conversation. They're going to ask more interesting questions related to that keynote speaker and make a longer lasting impression. And then that, as a result, will then result in more opportunities. And I guess, let's say that keynote speaker might want to grab coffee another time, and then that kind of that ripple effect, that butterfly effect, then that leading into another opportunity. So that's luck from preparedness, just by being prepared. And then there's luck that's unique to you. So that's just all about your charisma, your personality. It's about finding what makes you special amongst the pack and just homing in on that. And I guess using that to your advantage.
Excellent. I love that. I really love that. I love those two examples as well. Because, yeah, the people that get ahead are the ones that do their research. It takes more time, but it definitely pays off and increases the conversion. I just want to say thank you so much, Ash, for unloading your brain in today's episode on how to shape the future of healthcare through podcasting, as you have done and continue to do. I'm curious to see what happens when you finish med school, as to where your journey or what that journey would look like, considering what you've achieved thus far. But that can be for another episode. Before we round off, how can people get hold of you, besides obviously listening to your podcast?
I'm honestly, my inbox is open anytime. So you can email me at esh@beyondtomorrow.io, or you can find me on LinkedIn, Esh Tatler. Find me on Instagram. I'm on every single platform you can imagine, TikTok, like
Snapchat.
Instagram, YouTube. Yeah. Just type in Health Beyond Tomorrow. It's there. So,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ash, and thank you for everything that you have done and continue to do. You've really shaped the future of medicine.
Abena, thank you so much for having me.
No problem.